Achoo. Achoo. Oh man, where I just had the weirdest dream. Why are we in the studio, Ben?
What?
Wake up. Why did we fall? Did we fall asleep recording the podcast? Why are we in the recording studio?
That is a good question. Last I remember, we were camping outside, and I was telling you that scary story, the phone groaner. And then
Oh,
it's
of course.
kind of blurry after that. I feel like something happened. I don't know.
I kind of remember there was sound in the woods, and then I just kind of blacked out after that.
There's a chain. Did you chain me to the desk?
No, I didn't, and I'm chained to the desk as well. So I don't know. I think somebody put us here.
Whoa, oh, look on your side of the desk. There's a remote for our old CRT TV. It says play me on it.
All right. Well, let me reach over and hit the old clicker.
Hello, podcasters. I want to play a game. For years, you've sat comfortably behind microphones, broadcasting your thoughts, jokes, and opinions to the world, never thinking twice about the power you hold. But today, the mic has turned on you. You've spent countless hours talking about things that don't matter, coasting on the crutches of pop culture references, quoting movies, dropping names, relying on the creativity of others to fill your episodes, laughing while the clock ticks down on your life. But today, that ends. In front of you are two microphones. Your words will either be your salvation or your demise. You must record the most compelling episode of your careers, and I will be the judge. But there's a rule. For every pop culture reference you make, a punishment will be triggered. Above you, dangling on thin wires, is a piñata, filled with something far worse than candy. Each time you invoke a movie, show, or song, a heavy mallet will swing towards it. With each strike, the piñata will begin to crack, and when it breaks, well, let's just say you'll be showered in something far more unpleasant than party treats. The clock is ticking, the red light is blinking, the recording has begun. A full episode of original content, or you'll be covered in your failures. Live or die, make your choice.
Ryan, did you do that?
No, man. That's not my style at all. It's pretty creepy though. Are you sure? You're not pulling a fast one on me, right?
No, I don't remember. But if it's not you or not me, then who is it?
Well, that seems like the question of the hour, Ben. Who has the motive?
I don't know, but I think we'd better start recording. Just to be safe.
All right, well, let's do this thing then. Let's record the most compelling episode of our careers.
Without referencing pop culture.
Oh, this is gonna go bad. Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. Happy Cast is your number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. I'm Brian, and this guy over here, also chained to his podcasting desk, is a dear friend of mine, the only person that I would rather that I want to record this podcast with. It's the man, the legend, the myth, Ben. Ben, how are you?
Hi, I didn't know I was a legend and a myth. That's pretty good.
I mean, I'm not even sure like what the distinction is between legends and myths, but you somehow encapsulate both.
There probably is one somewhere. I swear there's something about like treasure rarity between legendary and mythic, but I don't know.
Oh, sure. The color coding for the different loots, right? So you're both purple and orange, which is seasonally appropriate for Halloween.
Oh, purple also? I guess so.
Yeah.
And tanned.
Sure. Yeah, you're both of those things. How did purple get in and become like a Halloween color? Orange makes sense because of pumpkins.
I assume purple because sometimes if you're arting, black doesn't really show up right, and people like would use like purple to help like highlight a lot of that. So maybe that, or Grimace. He's scary.
He is the scariest McDonald's character. I'll give you that. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. All right. So I guess we can't talk about Grimace. Remember in the movie Encanto where they did the song Can't Talk About Grimace?
Brian!
Oh, no! All right, okay.
Why?
I couldn't help it, Ben. It was sitting right there. How could I not say it?
Well, what do you think is in there, in that pinata?
It's worse than candy and more deadly than party favors, if I'm remembering correctly.
I don't remember if the little puppet on the TV mentioned party favors, but definitely more unpleasant than candy.
Which, I mean, could be anything. Candy is probably the best case scenario for what could come out of a pinata, really. So what are less pleasant than candy in terms of pinata filling? Bees? Is it full of bees?
All right, let me listen. No, I don't hear bees. I don't hear buzzing. I feel like I might hear buzzing.
You're right. There would be an audible buzz.
I know part of it did say that we would be covered in our failures, if that helps narrow it down at all.
Maybe a little bit, but it still leaves a pretty wide range of possibilities.
That's true. Yeah, that puppet on the TV really should have been more specific.
That's okay. We'll just, you know, we don't need to lean on popular culture crutches, Ben. Plus, honestly, we're aging out of popular culture now, so you know, it's our references aren't even popular. We're kind of we're past that that coveted 18 to 35 advertiser demographic. I mean, not you.
Yeah, I'm still in there, but maybe that's exactly his point, is because we aren't even referencing current ones, which I don't think that was his point, but we're not referencing current ones. We're still referencing the old stuff. We should be referencing other things, which this does not count because I am talking about it. It's like it's a quote. We're not referencing like Fortnite. We rarely reference Skibidi.
That's true. Okay, so I think that's a good theory. Maybe the lesson is we need to have more updated pop culture references. Just the other day, Ben, I was listening to the new Charlie XCX album.
Oh, were you?
Yes. It was. You know, I was reminiscing of Brat Summer. I think those things are related, right?
How Ohio was it?
Oh, okay. That one's new to me. I don't know, man.
I don't know what that means. I hope I didn't say something very rude. But to me, it is just a state.
I'm
a state of being.
We're kind of tying into like here. I'm gonna dip into like a mini Bummer Patrol, Ben. It's as I get older, like internet memes and posts that, you know, used to be targeted to me, and there were like fat cats who wanted to have cheeseburgers. I'm like, yep, this is funny. I get this. Now it just feels like nonsense designed to confuse me, where it'll be like a picture of an animated character from a 2000s movie that I'm not going to name by name. And it'll have a caption that says like orange juice hits different on a Tuesday. And I'm like, I don't know what this means. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, that's what the whole theme of the season has been, hasn't it? Or isn't it?
Maybe. It does seem to be recurring. So maybe that could be. I think maybe we're on the right track in terms of the lesson that the creepy puppet man wants to teach us. So we need to take the spirit of what we're learning and carry it forward to happy hour. Happy hour is your number one source for the things that make you happy. No, that's, I did that one already. Sorry,
but
I'm a little, we're gonna keep rolling. I'm just nervous given the circumstances. I'm afraid of what's in that pinata.
Me too. Okay. Listeners, write in what you think is in the pinata.
Happy hour is the part of the show where we talk about what makes us most happy for the week. Ben, what is your happy hour pick?
Okay, so I don't think this will count against me because, okay, I think we're fine. My happy hour this week is a video game called Power Wash Simulator.
Yes. I believe you haven't talked about this specifically. I feel like we might have touched previously on the podcast on your love of the sim game subgenre, that you love a good sim.
It's possible. It also depends, because while there are a lot of blank simulator, there are very few that are actually good. There are, like, I've played several. I played a few different farming sims, and those are sometimes okay, but they're a little more sim than I like. In it, or I felt like farming. I don't know which one it is. I have played. Like, there's like train simulator. There's a truck simulator, like a truck driving one. I think that has different maps. You could like drive around Europe or the U.S. And from what I've heard, there's an option to drive real time.
Oh, that sounds rough.
At that point, just go get a CDL and become a truck driver.
Sure, and then you would make money doing this.
Yeah. Well, I guess streamers might already make money doing it. I don't know. I've played like a thief simulator where you're going around to houses and like casing them and then having to break in without getting caught, which felt kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
that's a video game that teaches you how to do crimes.
A little bit, except I think the lockpicking minigame probably wasn't realistic. But Power Wash Sim is a little different. So you might have seen, and listeners might have seen, those like videos or GIFs on various websites, social media websites, of someone like power washing like a deck clean and just seeing it like slowly become from like gross to amazing. Feels like magic.
Yeah, no, I think you're hitting on like a popular type of internet content where it's the same idea behind like the YouTube video of the guy that goes around overgrown lawns and asks people like, can I clean your lawn up? And then you watch like the time lapse video of him doing all the work, and it's like, oh wow, what a beautiful yard you have now. It you know, it's like a shortcut, man. It cheats your brain into thinking you've accomplished something by just watching the before and after. Like, yeah, it's clean now, and I feel like I contributed to that somehow.
It sounds like ASMR for Hank Hill.
Yeah, kind of. I could Oop. Agree with that.
Sorry.
Oh,
it is so relaxing. It's my primary while I'm podcasting thing to do. As you can't see, I know my screen on this side of the desk, but I am currently power washing while we are being for. Maybe that's why I keep slipping up and making references. So sorry. I guess I don't. I mean, we're both going to get covered in this.
I'm sure. Maybe it's like nacho cheese. That would be mildly inconvenient, but not like life altering. I could live with that.
That's a good. What if it's nacho cheese full of bees?
Oh, and that's why they're not buzzing, because they're coagulated in the cheese.
But still alive and angry.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't want to cross those bees.
No. All right. I almost said Nacho Sim. Not that game. But I would probably also play that. No, Power Wash Sim. So you are a cleaner person. You have a power washer, and you are tasked with cleaning, for the first level, a van. It's dirty. As you progress through levels and earn money, you can buy things like better necks to extend your reach on your gun. You can buy like soaps and other things like that to make more difficult surfaces and difficult stains clean faster. I usually don't bother with that one because you don't need them to clean stuff eventually. It just takes more passes over it. You have four different size heads at the start. You have one that's just like a really powerful line, and then there are three other that get a little wider at a time, where each wider one is less strong than the one before it, but it covers a wider view, and sometimes that's what you need instead. It starts off with cleaning a van or like the outside of a house, but then you get to like cleaning a playground. You might be cleaning a UFO at one point.
Ooh.
Yeah. They've released several different free DLCs. Yeah, there's a whole storyline with like some magical temple, and there's like big massive statues to clean off. There's a mayor whose house gets egged, so you can clean that off at one point. A few different types of vehicles in there. But then the DLCs come, and there are maybe something with aliens. You clean the Mars rover in one of them. There's a mini golf course. That one is one of my favorites as a mini golf enthusiast. There's a like a solar farm, I think, is one of them. An aquarium. That one is a really fun one. I like that one.
I mean, that seems like a time-consuming job.
It is, but I do these things while watching other, or sometimes listening to a podcast or watching a show on the computer. So that way I can like have a thing to do with my hands and sometimes my eyes, depending on the level of attention I need. But in the meantime, I can just zone out and focus better on the other things because I'm doing something that is taking up just enough attention. I might've mentioned before on the podcast, I don't remember if I did or not, that I have like 100% attention bar that I have to fill at all times. And Power Wash Sim easily fills almost any percent that I need it to.
Oh man. So, but is it primarily like a second screen experience, or can it be like the main thing you're doing, and then you have like a secondary thing? Like you're also listening to a podcast, but like you're 85% into Power Washing Simulator.
You can be. Yes. Cause it really depends on how you do it. Like when podcasting, I am not as careful to try to 100% clean every little bit of everything. The way the game works is like, if you were cleaning a van, you can see what you're pointing at and like in the corner, it'll be like, this is tire or hubcap or like car door, car handle. And it will tell you how clean that thing is. So that way you'll know if sometimes a stain can be hard to see. So when I'm playing and focusing mainly on the game, I'm trying really hard to like usually clean a thing at a time or have like a systematic approach to it. Like first I'll do all the tires, then I'll do the front lights and bumper, and I'll go that way. When I'm podcasting, usually it's like I'm just walking around spraying it. I don't care. I'll get it clean eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I have restarted this game multiple times just to be able to play it again. And you can play free play mode, but sometimes I want to play again from the start so I can have that experience again. I have a second profile on my Xbox so I can do that. If you want to spend even more percentage of attention on it, you could play online multiplayer co-op up to, I think, 4 or 8 players where you can all clean together.
Man, you guys could probably knock out one of those big jobs in no time with 8 people.
I know, I bet. I know they've done speedrunning events with that, but I have not watched it because it felt like a lot to look at once.
It does seem like overstimulation.
Oh, yes. And what's so good about it is there are times, even playing by myself, that I've still only paid attention to the game. But that was when I had like so much going on in my mind. Like maybe it was like a rough time, or I'm just trying to like figure stuff out, and or I'm like so maybe overwhelmed sometimes too. Like a lot of times during my college experience, I was just so worn out and overwhelmed that I just needed a zen doing almost nothing experience. And this game filled that for me.
I didn't want to step on your happy hour because, you know, it's your half of the segment to shine. But I'm familiar with the game as well. I have it on the PlayStation 5, and it's very satisfying. I'm not as far as you. I haven't gotten any of like the really cool jobs. I haven't cleaned any UFOs or sci-fi things yet. But even just doing houses and playgrounds, it's very like there's almost like a meditative quality to it in a weird way.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, isn't that kind of how those like little desk Zen gardens work?
Sure. Yeah, where you're like raking sand around rocks and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm just washing dirt off of a submarine.
I got to figure out a way for us to play this thing together, because I think as fun as it is with one player, I think power washing Shrek Swamp with a buddy would just really be just like another level of fun.
Oh, I mean, I will get it on PS5 just to do that. But speaking of Shrek Swamp, on top of the free DLCs, there are also paid DLCs they've come out with that include Tomb Raider, the original ones, not the recent-ish remake trilogy. There is, which I think we're okay to say this. We're just talking about the actual thing, not making a reference to the thing.
Yes, I think we're safe.
There is, most recently, a Shrek DLC, which I just completed while we were recording this, the fifth level of it. There's the Final Fantasy VII remake. That's a DLC. There's an Alice in Wonderland one. There's SpongeBob. You get to clean like the Krabby Patty and like SpongeBob's house and other things like that. And those also pretty good, but you can make it by plenty of it just playing the free DLCs that have come out. Oh, they've even done some seasonal DLCs. Like one is part of a cruise ship. That's I think the pool deck of a cruise ship and Santa's workshop. And it's been officially, I think, confirmed, but still an accidental leak that this month, at least, and maybe again in the winter, there are two more seasonal updates, and one of them is Haunted House.
Oh, that'll be fun. Although, I think you want a haunted house to be a little dilapidated and dirty, right? I think a really clean haunted house loses a little bit of the effect.
Well, the game has some story, because as whenever you start a job, you get a text from whoever the job owner is usually, telling you why they hired you for it and just giving you like some fun flavor stuff. Usually it's funny somewhere in there. And then every 20% of the job completed, you get usually an update thing or just something else to be like, oh, good job. Here is some more either lore or jokes. Oh, Back to the Future. That's another paid DLC. That's really good.
Oh, Clean the Clock Tower.
Yes. Yeah. Clean the Clock Tower is one of the big ones. It's Doc Brown's van. Then the time machine itself, the DeLorean. You clean the 3D theater that's showing Jaws, the clock tower, and the time train.
Okay. Oh, the time train. I, as a young man, I didn't love that third movie and the time train. But as I approach middle age, I've developed a real fondness for those things.
Oh, are you a train guy?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not a train guy yet, but I can easily see myself going down that road in the future.
You're going to become a full train spotter out there with your binoculars, like within your checklist of train types?
Oh, I thought you meant, am I going to become addicted to heroin? Because that's what that movie's about. But,
Ryan!
I'm sorry. I was legitimately confused.
Well, I don't think you can't unbreak a pinata. That's what I always say.
Hey, that's what my grandpappy always said. Like, you can't unbreak a pinata. Once that toothpaste is out of the tube, it ain't going back in.
Is that what's in
there?
You
think it's full of toothpaste? Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Is toothpaste less pleasant than candy?
I mean, the toothpaste, if you get it in your eyes, it will burn. Speaking from experience, you don't want toothpaste in your eyes.
I don't think you want candy in your eyes either.
That's true. I mean, if you were to come up with a list of things you wanted in your eyes, it's probably not a very long list. It's really a good idea to keep anything clear of your eyes.
Want me to add that to the ranking the five list?
Sure. Top five things to have in your eyes.
Or that you don't want in your eyes. I don't know. Either, we can put both on there.
Okay.
But that's my happy hour. It's a very relaxing Zen game. Might sound boring. Oh, and one more thing that makes it a little bit extra fun is the money you earn, you can also use to do things like get a different skin for your power washer or for yourself. So you can like be a different color or like a different like style or pattern.
Oh, okay. Because when you said get a different skin for yourself, I was afraid it might be like a Buffalo Bill situation.
Ryan!
Okay. All right. Starting to look a little bit rough up there, huh?
That's not good because we're in like the first real segment.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it way back now. I'm gonna pull this thing off.
All right, time for your happy hour.
Okay. So good happy hour on your part. I also enjoy that game. It is in line with another game I really enjoyed called Unpacking, in which you just unpack boxes. So that's pretty good.
Is that your happy hour?
No. My happy hour was going to a local theater called The Plaza in Atlanta that opened in 1939. But given the current situation we find ourselves in, I think that is a potentially dangerous road for me to go down. So I'm going to make a last minute audible on my happy hour. And my happy hour this week is going to be, I was recently on Facebook and I was served up.
That's a good bummer patrol.
Yeah. Oh, I was on Facebook. It's rough, man. It's it's all like older relatives sharing like AI photos about and like, isn't this heartwarming that this happened? And I'm like, that's clearly not real.
what about the lobster Jesus? Don't you know about that one? That's definitely real.
I don't know about that one. Is that one real?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of like underwater Jesus photos.
I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that I would see, so I'm not surprised. I haven't encountered it personally, but it's very in line with where we're at.
All right, sorry to throw you off.
No, not at all. So my happy hour is I was on Facebook and I had a notification, a memory, and it informed me that you and I had been Facebook friends for 16 years at that point. And it really put into perspective how long we've been friends. And, you know, of course, we met through my previous podcast in which my uncle and I discussed Lost, and a contributor to that podcast, we became good friends, and I just was really feeling reflective on how rewarding this friendship has been. I've gotten a lot out of it. In the best moments and lowest moments of my life, you've been there for me, and I just really appreciate having you in my life as a friend. So that is my happy hour this week.
Well, see, Nat, thank you. But now I feel bad I chose Power Wash Sim and not a friendship longer than I've known my wife.
No. I mean, happy hours come in all shapes and sizes, Ben.
My happy hour is that I got mail today. It wasn't a bill.
I mean, sure. I mean, to be fair, I pulled what we internally at the podcast called a Woot move, where the Wootinator, he dwarfed our Bummer Patrols 1 week by, you know, ours were things like, oh, I hate it when my shoes come untied and I have to tie them back. And it's like, oh, I hate it when I'm waiting for mail and it's a holiday and the mail doesn't run. And then Woot's Bummer Patrol was the inevitable slow heat death of the universe. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's a good one, too, I guess.
Thanks, Woot. You did. Yeah, you pulled a reverse Woot.
That we call the reverse Woot. So, yeah, sorry to blindside you on that, Ben. It was not...
friendship over.
What a way for it to end. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I was asked to be the best man at your wedding, and that was truly an honor. I'm glad to have been there for that lovely ceremony, and the endless hours of podcasting we've done, me visiting you guys coming out here. It's been one of the... Truly, truly one of the great friendships of my life. So I do appreciate that. It's been 1 week.
1 week that we've known each other.
Yeah, we've known. Yeah. Wouldn't that be like real heavy if like we'd known each other for 1 week and then I dropped this on you? I think they call that love bombing.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, oh, come on, a little too strong friendship-wise.
No, you're the best friend I have. We've known each other for 48 hours. I thought we were doing like a Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy thing.
Oh, wait, was it?
What? Oh, I thought I was going to avoid that.
No, the hammer swing was just slow that time.
Sometimes the hammer swings slowly. We all know this.
That's another one of your grandpa's sayings.
Yeah, he had a ton of them.
A lot of pinata-themed sayings.
You know, he was a pinata enthusiast at heart.
Was that his job, too?
Pinata enthusiast? No.
Oh, no.
You don't get paid to be an enthusiast for pinatas.
I thought maybe pinata, like, constructor, designer, pinata factory worker?
Pinata reviewer. He would review pinatas for the local newspaper.
Ooh, that's a good job.
Which... Which, I mean, honestly, doesn't really do anybody a lot of favors because he was reviewing particular pinatas. So once you reviewed it, that pinata is already broken. You can't enjoy it anymore.
Oh, yeah. You can't review specific pinatas. Oh, I guess that's what you do for food, though, kind of, isn't it?
Sure, it's not like
everyone
else
gets the same steak you had.
I reviewed this particular hamburger. I wish you were there. Anyway, good luck with your future hamburgers.
What kind of qualities is a pinata rated on?
Ooh, good question. I mean, I think filling is one of the top things you look for in a pinata.
Oh, has
durability is important. You don't want like a glass pinata that shatters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because what it's made of could also affect what falls out.
The creativity of the design. I mean, you've got your standard pinatas and some that are outside the box. They're a little bit creative. And of course, this one above us, that's a, I'm kind of squinting. What's this pinata shaped like, Ben?
Oh, I thought you were going to know. I mean, my glasses on.
It's kind of abstract. So maybe we'll get a closer look at it later and be able to identify it positively. But
it's kind of in the dark. We don't have our ceiling light on. I just see a dark, amorphous blob shape hanging up there.
Yeah, the studio does have a darker, more eerie vibe than it usually does. I'll give it that.
Yeah, there's like this weird yellow or green color grading on it, too. It's weird.
Yeah, like an Instagram filter in here.
Oh, not again.
I know.
When we were in here and we kept having like dog noses and ears and a tongue sticking out just while we sat here?
I don't remember that. Did I block that out of my memory? Oh. I can't recall.
Oh, maybe that's when we had the Snapchat filter in here.
Oh, right. That was the Snapchat filter. You're right.
And then that little dancing hot dog guy showed up.
Oh, man. We tried to get him on the podcast, but he said, no, thank you.
With his dance moves. I've never heard him actually speak.
No, I mean, he, you know, with his movement, he said, no, thank you.
It was like that finger shaking.
Shaking his head, crossed his arms. Yeah, you know, he got the point across.
Like Nedry from Jurassic Park.
Exactly. Oh, Ben.
Sorry. Oh, we're going to die, aren't we?
It's looking likely. Let's just barrel forward into Bummer Patrol. Maybe we can get out of this thing alive.
Oh, man!
Go! All right, Ben, every yin has its yang, and Bummer Patrol is the flip side of the happy hour coin, and we're going to talk about our thing that is making us most bummed for the week. Ben, what is your Bummer Patrol pick?
All right, have you heard of shoes?
Have I? I'm wearing them right now.
Whoa, what a coincidence.
What were the odds?
I would have to calculate. I don't know the probability of you wearing shoes and not shoes, or how often you're doing the podcasting.
Off the top of my head, it feels like maybe a 50-50 split for me, personally.
Wow, nice. Mine's definitely more not shoes, but still. That's not my...
Do you ever drive without shoes on, Ben? I hear it's illegal.
No, I do not, because that doesn't sound fun.
You know, it's not that bad.
How would I get out to my car without shoes? I guess you have a garage.
I have a garage, and I'm a big fan of future happy hour pick. I'm a big fan of Crocs. You just slide them on, you can slide them off. It's super easy.
I would have to walk downstairs outside without shoes on. I don't really want to walk across our parking lot or down our metal stairs without them, especially in the summer when the metal on our stairs would be probably pretty hot.
Oh, sure. Hot time, summer in the city.
Ryan.
That was just a song lyric. We can't do those either.
No, I think it mentioned songs in there.
You're right. You're right. Looking back, they did specifically say no songs.
Oh, I think they said movie, shows, and songs. I guess games might be okay. Maybe they just weren't 100% like clear of everything.
What if I talk about, like, celebrity culture? I hear that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez have split up again.
Well, see, that might be fine. I think that's just, like, news. But if you were like, this is like that time Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez split up.
Oh, so no, like, you can't set up Family Guy cutaways like you did last week.
Ryan!
Mine was just a statement of fact.
I don't know. I'm not the judge. Whoever wrote that said they would be the judge.
Oh.
Okay.
This is all because last episode we talked about the pointless reference monster, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. We did. Oh, we did talk about that before, so we kind of brought it upon ourselves.
Well, isn't that how traps all like this always happen, from what I've heard?
Oh, yes, yes, you're right. Oh, we are. Who would have thought, Ben, that we would find ourselves in an episode of the podcast where we're in a trap?
Shoes.
Oh, yes, right. Your bumper patrol is shoes. Oh, yeah. No. Hate wearing them. You refuse to buy them.
No. Shoes. I have a pair of shoes that I wear regularly. They are sneaking shoes, and I wear them out in outdoors.
I could make a reference to a 1994 movie starring Forrest Gump in which he had a pair of shoes, but I am not.
Is it that movie or a different one that starts off in a shoe factory?
I can't think of a movie starting in a shoe factory.
Am I thinking of Jumanji?
No, I think that movie starts with them playing the board game Jumanji.
I thought there was something where someone is in a shoe factory and like a worker like discovers or invents like, what if we use a waffle iron to make the bottom? And then I don't know what movie that is.
are you describing the opening to the movie Child's Play?
No, that is not starting a shoe factory. That starts on like a street with like a chase between a cop and a serial killer.
Oh no, I'm talking about the maligned reboot of Child's Play, which I think opens at a factory, and they're like, oh no, it's basically like that joke from The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, in which it's like, oh no, this one switched to evil.
No, it's not that one, because this is clearly a shoe factory. And I think it's like an old timey-ish flashback. I need to look this up later.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Please report back to us about this shoe factory movie that you're remembering.
Everyone's dying to know about it. No, it is my shoes, but the laces seem to be too long by design, and I don't understand it. I've tried tightening it. I've tried loosening. I've tried changing the rearrangement of the laces in all the holes. And yet my laces are still too long. Even when tied. I mean, it is primarily tied.
Have you tried tying just like a really big bow?
I have. And then what happens is the bow parts are too long. And like if I try it just right, the loopy parts and the sticky out parts are both almost enough to get under my shoe if I step weird.
We can solve this. Have you considered taking both laces, pulling them back, wrapping them around the back of your ankle, coming back around to the front and tying them that way?
Is this one of those weird like TikTok life hacks?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's it's one of those things where it's like, I was today years old when I found out this is how shoelaces work. It's like, no, that's not. That's not how that's supposed to be.
I didn't know that AI TikTok lady voice was one of your voices.
I mean, maybe it is now.
I was doing that for Megan the other day too, actually.
I mean, it's a fun voice to do.
And I am also almost never on TikTok.
No, me neither. I've gathered it through like cultural osmosis.
Oh, there's one really good episode of The Neighborhood Listen that is all about that. But that's not a reference. I'm talking about a specific thing that I'm just recommending people listen to. It's a good one. But yeah, my shoes, I don't get it. I don't know what to do.
Shoe problem. You could buy new laces for these shoes and switch them out, right?
Then I'd have to. It'd be weird because I feel like I have to buy a pair of laces for each shoe. And then what if those are too long?
Have you considered just flipping to Velcros?
Oh, I mean, buying a new shoe would probably solve it, because what's even more annoying is it's only my right shoe. My left shoe is fine. And I checked, they're both laced the same.
Huh, do you think it's just a factory defect? They gave you a longer lace for the right shoe than the left shoe?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if my right lace is, like, stretched or what. Listeners, if you have shoelace tips, write in happyguessfeedback@gmail.com. Let us know.
Subject line, shoelace tips.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
What? Those are called aglets. Is that correct?
Yeah, very good. Those are. That's not what I was going to say, but I do like that. That was very relevant and educational. I was going to ask if you think our old frequent guest star, Professor Rad, if he's on TikTok doing life hacks there.
Oh, you know for a fact he's big on the TikTok doing life hacks.
I wonder what that would be like.
Hey guys, welcome to the Hacks of Life. I'm Professor Rad. I'm here to tell you about the latest and greatest from HappyCast Labs to improve your life. So, here's the thing. We've all been this guy laying in bed. It's cold. You can't sleep. Your toes are icicles. What is a guy to do? Well, bro, I tell you, go out, buy yourself a blanket, cover yourself up. Coldness is no longer a problem. Boom, you've been life hacked. Now, how about this? Next time you're out for dinner, find a burrito, buy a second burrito, take it home. I know what you're thinking. What are you going to do with two burritos? Put one in the fridge. Next morning, you got yourself a breakfast burrito. That's a gnarly life hack. Swish, nothing but net. So until next time, I've been Professor Rad with the Hacks of Life.
But that is my Bummer Patrol.
Well, Ben, that is a very good Bummer Patrol. So I guess it's my turn to share my version of this.
Yes, you are well prepared for this, correct?
Of course, of course. Each day, thousands of people die. nothing that dire and serious. You know what? Here's my Bummer Patrol. This is definitely what I planned on talking about. I went to the Georgia Aquarium for my birthday, the largest aquarium in the United States.
Nice little brag.
Yes, yes, yes. Georgia residents get in for free on their birthday, so that's why I go that day.
Oh.
And if you're under three, you also get in for free, so I took my son, and he also got in for free.
Wow, so that's double free?
Double free.
What happens if it's your son's birthday?
Well, he gets in for free regardless, so it doesn't have to be his birthday.
But did they get to, like, they pay you the price of a ticket?
Oh, sure. They just give you, like, a gift card at that point for concessions where you go to the food court and you pick any fish out of the aquarium. They'll cook it up for you.
Ooh, I want the whale shark. With that big, goofy stingray.
Oh, I bet it's delicious, man. I think we're kind of bordering to a conversation I think we had. I don't remember if we were being recorded at the time.
If we were being recorded, sounds like the feds are after us.
we were bugged. There was a while there where I had an obsession with asking people which Pokemon they thought would taste the best.
Oh, that's definitely somewhere in the podcast.
Okay. That's that one doesn't count. I'm talking about a previous episode of the podcast. Anyway, so the aquarium, we both got it for free. We had a great time. There was a new shark exhibit, which was very exciting.
Wow.
But the bummer patrol, the bummer part, I was excited to show my son the penguins, and when we got to the penguin exhibit, it was closed because they were under construction. So, I did not get to share, the penguins. So that was a little bit of a bummer. And also, when you go into the aquarium, it's one of those deals where, like this happens at aquariums or haunted houses, like big attractions like that, where they have you stand in front of like a screen and they take your picture, what? Like that souvenir photo, you know?
What? They do that at the aquarium now?
Yeah, they do it at the Georgia Aquarium.
I don't remember them doing that before.
Oh yeah. They've been doing it for a while because I have a few of those pictures. My Bummer Patrol is they always charge so much for those photos. Like, how are you going to charge me like $25 for a photo you're going to print and put in a frame? And also, I usually pay for it, so
you could not.
So I have a, sure. Why would I not want a commemorative photo of that time I went to the aquarium on my birthday?
Because you could take the picture.
I mean, oh, sure, Ben. Like, we all walk around with cameras in our pockets at every hour of the day.
What? Well.
But that wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a fun picture of me in front of a green screen where you pick the background.
Oh, you get to pick it?
You do. You get to pick the background. And my aquarium is currently running a promotional tie-in with Animal Crossing. So Animal Crossing was one of the options. I did not pick Animal Crossing because I was at the aquarium, not the island from Animal Crossing.
Well, you know what? I think I just heard from the future at least two squeals of excitement.
Are we getting broadcast from the future now?
Oh, no, I think I am. I think I know one or two people who, when they hear that, there's a pretty good probability of a coming out of them.
I mean, sure. Who doesn't love aquariums and Animal Crossings?
I mean, there is an aquarium in Animal Crossing.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay, so. And there was like an Animal Crossing exhibit, but it looked like an area for like kids to touch eels and stuff.
Oh.
Electric eel.
Oh, God. You know, we do have, I think, two, like we, you and I, have two commemorative framed photos like that, that we are both in.
I mean, I'm definitely looking at one right now across the room on top of the shelf. It's the gang. That time we met the king of medieval times.
We did. We met that king. And was he nice? I don't remember.
He was pretty cool. Honestly, I've, you know, I pass this photo almost every day. I've never noticed how small he is. He's shorter than you think the king would be.
Well, I guess that's why the king is usually like up on a raised throne, so no one can actually know most of the time.
Mm, right, like those people at the pharmacy on their little like 6-inch step. They're always higher than you.
People at the pharmacy, they have a little step?
Yeah, do you guys not have elevated pharmacies where you're at?
I assume they're the same. I mean, I don't look behind the counter, but I assume they're the same level as us most of the time when we're in person.
Oh, am I thinking about banks or banks like that?
I didn't know anybody was like that. Like the banks at Gringotts are, where the goblins are up really high? Is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe I'm thinking about Gringotts. You're right.
Do you think the Harry Potter universe has a Gringotts pharmacy?
Sure. I mean, that's based on real, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the second one is from when we rode that Jurassic Park ride that lied about how long or all right, it didn't lie about how high the drop was. But the night before that you, me, Caitlin, and Megan went on it, I looked up the drop and it said like, oh, it was like 30 feet. I'm like, okay, I can handle that. And it was like 80 feet.
Oh, I've got the digital photo of that. So you have a physical printout?
I thought so. Oh, maybe I don't. I thought we had a physical of it.
You might. Yeah, though, that's a great photo. You, you know, I'm like giving a thumbs up, having like the time of my life, and you three look like you're embracing, just preparing for death.
Caitlin, every time, would say that she thought she was coming out of her seat. I think she and Megan Mina both said that. Like they could feel themselves flying out of the ride.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we recuperated by riding the Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat ride four times in a row.
Four? Maybe a total of like eight or nine. It was a lot of times.
He just kept on doing it, man.
That guy let us just go through the quick way that one time. Like, hey, you're the only ones here.
Oh, sure. I mean, to be fair, yeah, it's not like there's a line of kids waiting to get on or like, I'm gonna scram, kids. We're riding the Cat in the Hat ride. It was like the situation where there was no line and we would just immediately get back on and then ride it again.
And to be fair, part of the reason is that it was raining.
Oh, sure. Of course, it was raining a little bit. Yeah, that was a fun time. I enjoyed that's why my happy hour is that time the gang went to Orlando. I almost said New Orleans. We did not go to New Orleans.
I have never been to New Orleans, so that would be a surprise.
Yeah. Remember when we all went to Bourbon Street and yeah,
drank all that bourbon.
We drank all that bourbon. That's Hence the name.
No, I do not. I must have drank too much bourbon.
I mean, that will make it hard to remember for sure.
Well, I guess that's our bumper patrols.
Yeah, yeah. My so my bumper patrol is, why are those souvenir photos so expensive? That's it. So yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to our next segment, which is, of course, we all know. Say it with me, Ben.
Ranking the five.
Yes, that's what I was saying to you.
Rank them a five. Rank them a five.
Ranking the five? That's a real big number.
Ranking the five, the hot new segment that's on everybody's lips this summer and now fall, where we pick a topic and then we debate back and forth, very lively, very excitedly, and we decide what the definitive top five things for that category are. We had a Ranking the Five a couple weeks ago with a special guest, Professor Werewolf, where we talked about the top five things to put on a sundae.
Yes, and do we want those results?
So we came up with our definitive list, and then we turned it over to the listeners to do a formal poll online, and we have the results of that poll. So, Ben.
All right, here is what our results are. In first place, which I don't know if I should count, that you have also voted on this.
I wasn't told that I couldn't vote in the online poll.
And I think Professor Werewolf might have as well, which you already made your votes on the episode.
I listened to the episode. Am I not a listener?
You are, but also it's already in the order of how we voted it. Either way.
Well, I won't vote in future polls.
Either way, you still can. You can vote if you're doing other, maybe. So you can, if you have extra suggestions you forgot about. In first place, matching our first place, is chocolate sauce with 9 votes.
Number one with a bullet.
Number two. Pew. What? Oh, are you shooting it?
I said pew pew. That was me. no, that was the bullet that number one is with.
I thought you were like Yosemite Samming it.
Ooh, well.
Oh.
I don't blame you for that one. I was thinking it too.
I forgot he wasn't a real person.
He was. He's a historical figure. Yes, of course.
One of our presidents.
Yosemite Sam, our greatest president. He got us through such a hard time in this country.
I want to see him on Mount Rushmore. Photoshop challenge. number two, matching our number two. Sorry. Sprinkles with 7 votes.
All right. So we're basically like lining up with our official results so far.
Well,
very interesting.
Here you go. Here's the upset. Number three, which was our number five, they voted number three as more ice cream.
I'm not upset about it. More ice cream's a good choice.
Number four, with 3 votes, cherry.
Cherry on top, right there in the middle of the pack.
Yep, and number five is, with 2 votes, is graham cracker crumbs.
Oh, wow, graham cracker crumbs, making it in the top five. But, so it sounds like bacon bits, again, did not make the official list or the listener list.
Well, there is an other category where people have voted that and commented things. So here are a few of those things. The New Today agrees with Professor Werewolf on bacon bits.
Interesting. I didn't see that coming.
We have listener Rob says Cadbury's Flake, which I do not know, but it looks good.
It sounds mad British. I have not heard of it either.
We have Birdie Shoes says all of it, which...
All right, yeah.
That's going to be a loaded sundae.
I would say all of it minus the bacon.
Oh, I think it was all of it of the original five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe everything above too, I don't know. Mr. Birdie Shoes says nuts, which I think we discussed, but I hard vetoed.
Yeah, I, if you were passionate about it, you could have talked me into including it, but it's not something that I wanted to see on the list either. It's, you know, I enjoy a mixed nut, you know, some cashews, some pecans, but I don't know. Once you get them to that temperature of ice cream, it's not pleasant to me.
Yes, I have a hard time. Like, I already don't like mixture of too many, like, different textures, and that's too hard and crunchy with, like, the soft meltiness.
Right.
We also have two more. We have Anton Bruckner says Magic Shell.
I forgot about Magic Shell. I did really enjoy that when I was a kid.
That is good. And D-Vitty says Butterscotch. If they will give it to you and not be stingy, or mistake caramel for it. Caramel is good, but not butterscotch good.
I mean, yes. I think I co-signed that because we also talked about going a little bit wider with the chocolate sauce category and having multiple sauces. So I think those are the two other sauces I would include in the list.
And we could almost do top five butterscotch topping sauces. I mean, not butterscotch. Oh, that's just butterscotch. Top five.
Just butterscotch. Five.
I mean, I just like butterscotch that much. I've had a butterscotch shake and that was it. I was sold forever on it.
Butterscotch is underappreciated.
Wasn't that your kid's first word?
Butterscotch?
Yeah.
No, his first word was Tater, which is the dog's name.
Oh, I was thinking of one of your kid's first words. I thought you said it was butterscotch.
I went, he said Tater, and then I went full Sean Connery. I was like, we call the dog Tater. You're the dog now, Tater. You know what? I knew it was coming. Don't care. I don't regret it.
Brian, what if there are bees in there? What if it's butterscotch, actually?
Ooh, all right. Well, then this will be a very exciting turn of events.
Wait, that might be better than candy, though. So I don't know. Right. Oh, yeah. So ranking the five this week, though.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm excited to hear what the new topic is going to be.
Now, I have a wheel, but it is not turning. I don't know why the button just is not working to spin it.
Big wheel keeps not turning.
Brian! But I do have a little post-it here that says what to talk about instead.
Oh, okay. Well, so we got a note from the puppet man?
I assume. It's not signed, but it says top five worst Halloween candies.
Top five worst Halloween candies. Interesting. Okay.
It's also bottom five, but
the top five bottom Halloween candies.
All right. So we need to have these five, rank it. We'll put it on our Facebook page, and then you all can vote on how you agree on the worst, or not candies, top five worst Halloween things to get while trick or treating.
Ooh. Okay, well, that's a horse of a different color, Ben.
Oh, just like the one from Wizard of Oz.
Was there a horse in that movie of a different color?
Yeah, there was a horse of every color. It was, I think, actually four different colors in the movie, and they had four different horses, and it was when they went to Oz. And they made them different colors by dyeing their fur, hair. Is it called fur on a horse? I never thought about that before.
I believe it's fur. That sounds good to me.
By dyeing them with Kool-Aid powders.
Oh, okay. That sounds safe. I was afraid this was going to be one of those stories that takes a dark turn where they're like, they spray painted these horses and then they died.
Well, they seem to be safer, safer with the horses than they were with the guy that played the Tin Man.
Okay. Oh, sure. And then the snow was famously asbestos, right?
Oh, I mean, back then, who knew asbestos was as bad as it is?
I'm sure at least they probably used the best asbestos.
Do you think we're going to eventually learn that something like Nickelodeon's GAC is going to be our asbestos?
Oh, I mean, it definitely feels like it's in the realm of possibility.
I really hope not. Okay, yeah, so I'll let you vote first on top five worst things to get while trick-or-treating. That you would reasonably get while trick-or-treating.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You can't just be like polio.
I mean, that would definitely be something you don't want. Well, I'm gonna. I know that it's a broader category than just candy. I'm going to go with candy for my first pick and say Famously, everyone's least favorite candy. Nobody loves it. Everyone hates it. And I'm really setting us up to be like bombarded with Facebook comments saying like, no, we love this. It's the big orange circus peanut. We all know the one, the orange marshmallow shaped like a peanut. Terrible. You definitely don't want to get those trick-or-treating.
Are those marshmallows?
I mean, yeah, they're marshmallow-like in consistency, right?
Are they peanut-flavored? I don't know that I've had one.
Have you never tried one? Ben, oh, can we get some and bring it to the podcast next week and have you give a live on-the-air review of the orange circus peanuts?
We definitely can. We've done live tastings here before, like pudding pouches.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, maybe it's going to be a hard sell for me to get it on the list if you've never had one. But just believe me when I say not good. Not a good candy.
I've heard a lot of bad things. You know, we can stick with just candies. I have candies that I did not like to get while trick-or-treating.
Okay, well, sure. We can – I mean, well, let's – I don't know. Do you think the puppet man will get upset if we don't follow, like, the prompt that he gave us?
Well, to be fair, the prompt did say top five worst Halloween candies.
Oh, okay.
Well, so then, maybe he'll be mad if I say, like, a religious tract.
Sure. Okay, let's get all those out of the way then. Honorable mention go to religious tract, toothbrush, a handful of pennies.
Apple.
Fruit. Any fruit is, you know. Unless, what if they handed you, like a candied apple or a caramel apple? Is that acceptable?
No, I might be okay with like a popcorn ball, which is not an apple, but it's round.
Yeah, they are both round. So
an apple is easier to hide a razor blade inside of.
I mean, you're right. If you were to hide a razor blade in anything, an apple would be one of the top five things to put a razor blade in, which we'll save for a few segments.
Yeah, we'll add on that too. Top five Halloween candies that are easiest to hide a razor inside of. Not Kit Kat.
Oh, definitely. You can't put in a Kit Kat.
Not a bag of Skittles.
Yeah, sure. It'd be too obvious.
Like, wait a second. Why is there a razor blade in here? All right, so your first vote is Circus Peanut?
Circus Peanut, my number one pick.
But it really isn't peanut butter flavored?
I don't think so. But I haven't had one in a long time, so maybe I'll also get some to try, and then we'll do like a dual review. Maybe I'll find out that in fact I love the orange circus peanut.
I mean, if the track record that we've had so far tells us anything, you probably will, because sometimes in the podcast you like things people hate because it's funny.
I am offended at this assertion.
I have known you 16 years, Brian.
If you're telling me that I am a contrarian by nature, strictly for my own enjoyment, you don't know me at all, sir.
I chose to not use that word because I feared it would be too mean. So no.
Okay.
Now my first vote is going to be on. Now this one might be a little controversial because some people do like it, and they're fine. They're fine.
Buttercup?
No. I can never betray Reese's like that. Reese's are still way up on my candy list since had it as my happy hour forever ago.
Probably one of your like first three happy hours, I would imagine.
Well, I'm going to check. It is number one.
Okay. Yeah. We call it the alpha happy hour pick, the old Reese's cup. And then mine was probably something really cool. Like, surfing at the beach or something.
Yours is Netflix instant streaming.
It's ruined movies, Ben.
Nope, too late. You already declared it happy. You cannot take it back now. We do have a no take backsies clause on our happy hours and bumper patrols.
Okay, all right. Well, you win some, you lose some. So what? So what's this controversial candy that you're about to drag here on the podcast?
Smarties.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine. That's the problem is it, like, there are some that are objectively bad and there are some that are just disappointing to get. And a little thing of Smarties is always disappointing to me because it's fine, but I don't want a bunch of little chalk circles.
I think the the problem with Smarties, at least in my years of trick-or-treating, is it was a fine candy that I got way too much of.
Yeah, yeah, like exactly. Two,
that's fine, but you look in that bag, it's you're looking at like 30% Smarties.
What's the deal with Smarties? They're not even smart.
They're should be called dummies, am I right? This guy knows.
Okay, I think we're good. That didn't count.
I changed it just enough to where I don't think it triggered.
Is that what you say if you have a bad impression?
Yeah, yeah. I'm making it just like legally different enough to where you can't get trouble.
Yeah, and retroactively, that is how all of our impressions have been in all of our editions.
Of course, of course.
They're purposefully a little bit off.
We can't make them too good, then we'll get sued.
Yeah, like those automated like YouTube and podcast listening things that look for music that is copywritten. They would tag us. They'd know that we were being Regis and David Caruso.
Yeah, that's why we have to take our flawless one-for-one impressions of these people, and then we chop and screw them so they're a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm sorry my Paul Hollywood last week was really too good. Maybe I should go back and edit that.
Yeah, yeah, go back and make a special edition of that episode where you just make the Paul Hollywood a little bit worse.
Okay, all right. I'm going to try to do that and to change everyone's minds who's already heard it to have heard that version.
Okay, good, good, good. Right. Oh, Smarties.
Number three.
Number three. I don't know if this is a regional candy or not, but to be fair, we did grow up in roughly the same region. There's about. Are you familiar with a candy called Mary Jane?
Brian, are you talking about pot?
No. Don't you hate it when you go trick-or-treating and they give you that sticky, sticky sweet ganja? Oh, man, it's the worst. Mary Jane, it's like a peanut butter candy, like a little, like a gooey, chewy, peanut buttery kind of, but like the texture's weird. I'll change it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you can have it on there still, but I do not know what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm going to throw Mary Jane out. Here's like an adjacent candy that I think might have like a wider appeal. Do you know those like those chewy candies that come in like the plain like black and orange wrappers?
Oh, yeah. What are those? Where do those come from? Who makes them?
They're not even branded, man. It just seems like the kind of candy that they hand out on a TV show so they don't get in trouble for using brands.
So how am I supposed to write this one down?
Just put in nondescript black and orange candy.
Okay. I do know those. I think there's like grape too sometimes.
Did you say grape?
Yeah, I thought there were grape ones, and I just don't know where they come from.
Grape sounds okay, though.
What do the black ones taste like? Is it black licorice and orange?
I mean, to be fair, like some of these, the memory is so hazy. They're things I haven't had in almost 30 years at this point.
Oh, yeah. You've been trick-or-treating since you were six?
That's a good question. When did you stop trick-or-treating? I feel like maybe the last time I went, I was like 12 or 13.
Maybe close to then. I don't remember. At some point, I just got to eat the candy at home while watching scary movies, so I didn't have to go to the work for it.
So, yeah, no, you get the sweet reward without the effort. Why? Who wouldn't love that?
That's America. Hmm. No, my
I'm getting real political here and breaking the five.
Well, it is almost election season, and that's what we're doing right here. We are electing our top five worst Halloween candies.
Ooh, that's true. That's true. Okay, so what is your next pick?
My next pick has to be those wax bottles that I don't know where the actual candy is in them.
Oh, they've got like a drop of blue or red liquid inside. I think that's the candy.
I never understand it because like I think I was told back then that you have to bite off the top of it, and I would do that, and I'm just chewing on wax and there's nothing in there. I just have a chunk of wax shaped like a Coke bottle.
So a couple of weeks ago, I actually saw a pack of those at a gas station convenience store, and I picked it up and thought about buying it before realizing like, oh, no, these are terrible. And I put it back down.
maybe you should, and bring them to the studio for our Halloween candy taste test.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's the third segment next week, where we just eat terrible Halloween candies. We rank the top five worst Halloween candies and then try them here on the podcast to see if they are truly as bad as we remember.
Oh, can we also do that with the Sunday topping one?
Sure, sure. Just eating handfuls of chocolate sauce like we're Winnie the Pooh.
Where would you keep a pot of chocolate sauce like that to be able to put your hand in?
I keep a pot of chocolate sauce in my pantry. Don't you? Isn't that like a normal thing?
Like Augustus Gloop just getting handfuls of it, shoving it in his mouth.
Like you're eating that chocolate river.
Oh, am I mixing that up with Bruce from Matilda, or do they both do that?
Oh, well, Bruce ate that chocolate cake, right? The whole.
Oh, but he definitely took handfuls of it at one point.
Yeah. Oh, man. That cake looked pretty good.
Well, I mean, it was implied that there was blood in it.
I don't remember. I just remember it looked very good.
Oh, yeah, no, the cafeteria lady was like, oh, I made it with blood, sweat, and tears. And I felt like she winked or something, or there's some kind of implication that's like, it was actually those three things in there.
Oh, that's pretty gross, Ben. I didn't realize Matilda was a horror movie.
I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah.
The headmistress throws a girl by her pigtails.
Over the fence. And they do put kids into the chokey, which is just like a standing coffin with like spikes in it. That can't be true, right? I must be making that up.
No, that's in there. It's like steaming from the bottom, I think.
I should probably rewatch Matilda.
You know, Happy Hour, Matilda the Musical on Netflix.
Maybe I'll watch them both.
I really enjoyed it. Anyway, so number five.
Are we still throwing out suggestions, or are we doing the ranking now?
Oh, we have one more. We have Circus Peanut. Smarties. No, that is five. Never mind.
Well, you threw three suggestions out. Let me throw in one more and we'll.
Oh, wait. No, it's not five. I still had Mary Jane on the list.
Oh, okay.
So we have four. So, yeah, now you have one more candy.
All right. So my pick is going to be, and this is a candy that I grew to appreciate more over time. It's still not a favorite. And I think that there's probably no kid who enjoys receiving this. It's going to be dots. Those little gumdrop things. Like the box, you get the little cardboard box. It's got like three of them in there. You know the ones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, very few in those boxes.
And they get gummed up and stuck in your teeth. It's just not a pleasant eating experience.
I thought you were going to say, I thought dots for a second were those like little dots on the candy paper or of candy that are on the paper.
Oh, no, I think you're talking about, like, dropping acid.
No. How many drugs were our neighborhoods handing out when we went for Halloween?
Hey, man, it was the 90s. It was wild back then.
No, there are these little candy dots on paper, and I don't like them because they were always there's always some paper still stuck to them, even when you tried to peel them off. So why even put them on paper? Just put them in a little box or bag.
I vaguely remember what you're talking about, yes.
But I will agree with you on dots, although I don't mind them now. I will sometimes get them for a movie.
Yeah, they have a place. I do, because of the small box that has like two or three dots in, I still think it's a bad Halloween candy.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to agree with you on, is it's fine if you have a whole box of them, but three is really disappointing when you open the little box.
Oh, and you know what is kind of like a similar candy? It's kind of in the same lane as dots, but in my opinion, much better, is a juji fruit.
I am not. I've seen those, but I'm not familiar with those taste-wise.
I feel like they're better, but again, these are things I haven't had in so many years.
Oh, all right. So that's our five. So we have Circus Peanuts, Smarties, those nondescript black and white or black and orange chewy candy things, wax bottles, and dots. So is number one our least favorite?
Number one is, yeah, our least favorite, the worst candy to get while trick-or-treating.
All right. I think the one that we both agreed on might be those nondescript black and orange things.
I feel like that's a real strong contender to be number one.
I think number five, can we have dots there? Because I like them now.
Again, yeah, I also like them now. I think five is a good spot for dots as well. We're in agreement.
And they actually taste good-ish, or good enough, better than the other things.
They're just not great in the context of trick-or-treating.
No. Now, Circus Peanut I've never had, so I'll just have to go based off of you.
I'm okay with it being number four, since this is, you know, a collaborative list. I wouldn't want to push it too high if it's something that you're not familiar with. I think you just know it as a reference point.
Yes, I know that on the Neighborhood Listen, Burnt Mia Payday ate a lot of them during the COVID pandemic. That's the only food he had.
Oh, it's pretty good. What a nightmarish way to live.
I think he slowly turned orange for a while somewhere in there.
Sure, like when babies eat too many carrots. I know that to be a thing.
And that guy on House who turned orange because he had too many carrots.
I don't remember that one, but that does sound like an episode of House. And then they found out that it was not lupus.
Oh, no. This guy wasn't the main story. It was one of the ones where House had to go to the free clinic to do work that he was required to do. And then while there, he was like, wait a second, and then realized what the actual big problem is.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot the structure for episodes of House. But that is coming back to me now. That is how a lot of those episodes worked.
That doesn't count. I was talking about a thing that happened. Okay. So we have Smarties and Wax Bottles.
Ooh, these are both bin picks. I could go either way on it, but I think, I think that we're both kind of like meh on Smarties. I think Wax Bottle would be a better choice for number two.
I agree, because I never tasted anything but wax out of those. Smarties have a taste, kind of.
They have a flavor, a chalky flavor.
Yum, yum, yum.
All right, so that's it. We've got the list. Top five worst Halloween trick-or-treat candies. Number one, of course, is the nondescript black and orange candies. Yep. Number two is the wax bottles. Number three, Smarties. Number four, the orange circus peanut. And number five, barely making it, kind of like, is dots.
Dots. Check our Facebook page a day or two after this episode posts, and you can vote on how you feel about that ranking, and if you have other candies that you do not like to get for Halloween or did not like and want to complain about that, and we'll probably agree.
Absolutely. We would love to hear your hot takes on candy.
I hate getting hot tamales.
Oh, yeah, that's also bad. That could have been on the five.
I don't like spicy candy.
Atomic Fireballs, also bad.
Oh.
Any cinnamon flavored candy is not one of my favorites. Oh, no. Red Hot. Why are there so many cinnamon candies?
I don't know. And it's extra disappointing as a kid when I thought it was going to be like cinnamon roll kind of flavored. No.
Yeah, the original Cinnamon Challenge was trying to eat a fistful of Red Hots and almost dying.
Oh God!
Is that a reference?
Did it happen somewhere other than like to you or in life?
The Cinnamon Challenge.
Oh no! I mean, I guess that one didn't count. That wasn't a movie or show. That was just like a trend in real life.
Okay, well, at least not until my film adaptation of the Cinnamon Challenge. It's a Blumhouse horror film. It's hitting theaters in a couple of years.
I was wondering if you're going to choose Blumhouse or A24 for this movie.
Oh no! See, it's not as arty as an A24 film. It's a little more kind of like fun. Which again, that makes me sound like I'm kind of dragging A24. I enjoy an A24 film.
They are, I think, less fun, but they're not bad. Those are different things.
They have some fun ones. They did Everything Everywhere All at Once, which was a wonderful movie that won Best Picture a couple years ago.
I need to get to that still.
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Oh, anyway, feedback?
Feedback.
Mail time.
Hey, you know what that means?
Mail time!
Mail time!
Welcome. You've got mail. Goodbye.
If you want to reach out to the show, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Write us an email. Send us a voicemail. We'll play it here on the show. And we're very excited to announce here on this episode the relaunch of the HappyCast voicemail line. Ben, tell the people where they can call us.
You can call us at 1, well, I guess if you're American. I don't know how it works internationally. But if you are local to the America area, 1-77-HAPPY-BUS or Happy Cup, either one. I don't know the numbers for that off the top of my head, but it's 1-77-HAPPY-CUP.
CUP. Okay. all right. Very good. Very good. So, Ben, what kind of feedback do we have to play on the show?
Well, we have already 2 calls on the voice line.
Ooh, voice line coming in hot. All right, let's hear those fresh voicemails.
Hello, it is me, Spam Lady. I don't like spam though, so I don't know why it's my name. Goodbye.
Okay. So that was what was that?
That's not our fault. Just because the caller said that they're the spam lady doesn't mean that we made the reference.
Yeah. Also, who is the spam lady? Is she like the log lady from Twin Peaks?
Oh, no. You know, in Monty Python, the spam song.
Oh, ooh, I'm embarrassed to admit here on the show, Ben, a little bit of a blind spot for me. The Monty Python. I've seen the Holy Grail. That's about it.
I mean, I don't know most. I don't know a lot of the skits, but I know some of the classic ones. And the spam one is one where the word spam came from for emails. But also that it's in our Spamalot intro, I think, for our bumper.
You know, I always wondered what that was. I didn't fully get the reference, but it has become clear to me now. Yes.
Yeah, well, it is that. And I guess we have our first prank caller because I don't know who that is.
Huh. All right. Well, it's an interesting development. We'll keep a close eye on this prank phone call situation.
All right, but we do have a second one. Hopefully not what?
Hopefully not another prank.
Hopefully not. Let's see here.
Hello, Ben and Brian of HappyCast. This is Professor Vampire calling in to address your previous guest, Professor Werewolf. She was throwing a lot of shade at vampires. But this is not why I call. She voted for chocolate on her iced cream. Chocolate is poison to her kind. You have to stop her. You must save her from herself so that I can be the one to defeat her. Ah, the children of the night are making their beautiful music again. I must join them. Kiss, stay happy.
No, Ben. Oh, no. I think we have somehow found ourselves in the middle of the ancient war between vampires and werewolves.
It's been going on ever since the Twilight Trilogy came out.
Of course. I mean, you know, and then, like, Underworld, I think that touched base on that too, right?
Oh, is that before Twilight?
I think so, but I could be wrong.
This is not good.
I mean, also, so Professor Vampire brings up a good point about chocolate being poisonous to dogs. I thought about that in the podcast, but, you know, I was a little bit freaked out by Professor Werewolf, so I didn't want to push it too hard. But it's a valid point, I think.
I think it's worth examining. I agree, but I think there was one point where I reference dogs, and I think Professor Werewolf got mad at me saying that they're not dogs. I don't know how much carries over. I think we'll need to hear from Professor Werewolf and get a response.
We'll have to get a response. I believe she herself referred to it as her dog form when she talked about going through drive-throughs and getting pup cups.
You're right. She did call her dog form then. But I mean, we don't know a lot about werewolves, and I don't know. I didn't know that there was also. I mean, I guess we have talked with a vampire before.
Have we? Have we done that too?
Yeah, we had interview with a fizzpire. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we've done a lot over the years, Ben. I can't remember a lot of this stuff.
I mean, just do a quick re-listen to all of the episodes we've ever done. Oh, sorry, no. Interview with a Bizpire, BZpire.
Oh, I like that more. That's good. It's a good punch up.
That's what it was. And I think FizzBiz is or was a vampire. Thrall or vampire? I'm not sure which. I'll have to re-listen, but maybe we need to speak with all of the vampires and werewolves we know and see what's going on. I don't understand.
Yeah, we definitely, we need to have a podcast summit where we can maybe get to the bottom of this beef between vampires and werewolves and just really, you know, make a peace between these two warring factions.
We need to unmask the beef, if you will.
We need to unmask the beef. Yes. Very good, Ben.
That's all the feedback that we have.
Okay. Well, cool that we got some voicemails already. So I'm looking forward to hearing from other people in the future. Maybe some more pranks coming our way. Again, we're going to keep a close eye on that situation.
Are we saying that we're welcoming prank calls?
I'm not welcoming prank calls. I'm not asking for them. I'm just saying that it's something that we're going to keep a close eye on.
Okay, all right. I will say I'm not opposed to getting prank calls, but I'm not welcoming them, and I will not tolerate them.
I'm Switzerland. I am neutral on the prank call topic.
And you make good chocolate and watches.
I make delicious chocolate watches.
So I think all right. That's it. We survived, I think. I mean, the pinata looks pretty cracked, but I think we're okay.
It's looking a little shaky, so I think it's really in our best interest to wrap it up and call it a quits. I hope that our captor is pleased with the results of his challenge. I think, who are we to say whether or not this is our finest hour, but you know, definitely not one of our worst. I think, you know, there was that episode you put out that was just Rebecca Black's Friday on a loop for like 13 minutes. We did that. So now, this is better than that.
Now, I don't know. I don't think it wasn't just that. I think there were a few songs in there, and I even did some editing. There were creative loops in it. It's more like a remix of songs.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm going to implore our listeners to go back and uncover that hidden gem of the catalog.
Oh yeah. It is Edition 15, TGIFD.
All right. Well, okay. So guys, go back and check that out. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, making it to the end of another episode of HappyCast. We're having a great time here. We're glad that you joined us, and we'll catch you next week. Until then, remember,
stay happy.
Wow, Ben, I can't believe we actually made it through that podcast without breaking the pinata. It got real kind of dicey there at the end, though.
Yeah, me too. I can't see the exact damage because, as we established earlier, it's up in the dark, like eaves of our ceiling, and we can't really even make out the shape that it is. But I assume it's looking pretty bad based on how many hammer hits I heard.
It has taken a beating for sure. Do you think we passed the test? Did we record the best podcast of our lives? Like, is it like when the Beatles played their last concert on that rooftop, and then when they left, John Lennon's like, "Well, thank you. I hope we passed the audition." Or was it George who said that? Ben, you're a big Beatles head.
What is this stuff?
Oh,
it's me, the Puzz Guzzler.
We remember, Ben. We should have known it was the Puzz Guzzler all along. How? What? Why? Why did you do this to us? What did we ever do to you?
What do you mean? What did you do? You shrunk me down last time I was here because you gave me an unfair riddle.
That riddle was on the level. I checked with our podcast fact checkers, and they said that it was sound and logical.
Actually, your riddle was generated by AI, so I technically think it wasn't fair.
It's a terrifying bear face. What are you doing here?
I just thought I'd walk in. I saw the studio was here.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
It's been a long time.
It's been a really long time, man. You look good, man. You've been hitting the gym?
No.
Oh.
And actually, you're not hitting the gym. You're going to the gym and you do workouts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember your thing now.
Get out of here, terrifying bear face.
Well, Puzguz. I thought you were annoying. I forgot about that guy.
That was pretty weird.
Well, anyway, this is just like a long play for vengeance. You're just mad at us for shrinking you and sending you to the Phantom Zone?
Yeah, it wasn't the Phantom Zone, but you deserved this. And now you'll be covered in this stuff forever.
I mean, what is it? It's kind of sticky and viscous. Is it just like maple syrup? It has kind of like a mapley kind of feel to it.
I'll never tell. It's part of the puzzle.
Well, we need to clean up, though. I don't want to get ants in the studio. So you're mad at us, but why all the railing against the references? That's not part of why you're here before. You never hated our you know, irreverent popular culture references.
That was before I knew who you two really are and how lazy you are with your so-called humor.
I mean, I understand. So you think taking a pre-existing thing and using it as a jumping off point to do your own thing is lazy, and I mean, it feels like you're portraying it as being immoral too, just something that shouldn't be done.
It is against how puzzles are made and what makes them good. They're all unique and amazing and beautiful.
All right, I mean, that makes sense when you say it, but tell me this. How come this entire situation that you put us in feels very reminiscent of the movie Saw from 2004?
Yeah, and I can back that up. I've seen the whole franchise several times, and this feels very much like Saw.
Yeah, you even have kind of like a Jigsaw look to you right now.
What?
You look like Tobin Bell. Not the puppet, Tobin Bell.
What do you... No! This was original. I made this up. They ripped me off. It's not fair.
I mean, even like you being in the room the whole time is straight out of the end of the Saw movie. Spoiler alert.
What? No, not again. No.
All right. Well, then, we vanquished Puzguz once again. But the question is, for how long? Have we seen the last of him?
Oh, I've not seen the last of us. I've heard it's good.
Oh, I own the game.
I played the game, the first one, but.
Oh, well.
I heard the HBO show is good.
I hear, yeah. I'm excited they're making a God of War TV show because I've always wanted to experience that game without playing that game. So this feels like a real win for me.
I had not heard, but I mean, we should probably talk about this later because we need to really get this stuff off of us.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the showers real quick. Oh, who could that be? Oh, somebody put a letter under the door. Let me see.
We just got a letter?
We just got a letter.
We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from.
Let's see here.
Is that letter made of Velcro?
Okay, let's see. It says here, we have been selected for the job as the winter caretakers of the Overheard Podcast Studio. Ben, did you put an application for us to do this winter job?
No, I had no idea. But that's super exciting. I mean, we already podcast from a studio inside of a hotel.
Yeah, but this one's up in the mountains. I think it might be cool. I've always wanted to see the snow, Ben. Living here in the American Southeast, I don't get a lot of snow in my life.
No. But so I think this is a good opportunity for us then, right? I mean, we haven't been selected to caretake another studio ever.
Yeah, I think in the whole run of the podcast, this is the first time we've had to caretake another studio. Let's put it on the list. We've done it, and it'll never be done again because we don't repeat ourselves.
It might be the first time anyone in the world has ever been asked to caretake a podcast studio.
Well, you know, famously, podcasting is a summertime activity when the weather is nice. Nobody wants to sit down and record a podcast in the winter when it's cold and chilly because they're too busy, you know, building fires and decorating their holiday, you know, abodes with mistletoes and other such things.
That's a good point. So I guess we should wash this stuff off, whatever it is, pack our things, and head off to the Overheard Podcast Studio.
Let's go. That's the podcast. Bye.